social media has definitely brought a bunch of me and my buddies closer.
Some people say that social media makes them feel more alone, but I've never felt closer to other people.
Social media has a lot of great aspects to it. I just don't see any mental health benefits behind it. When people are posting all these things, you kind of feel like you're being left out sometimes.
I don't want to be held accountable for something that I was never taught not to do.
You gotta be mature starting at a very young age, and so that is a concern.
Social media provides an instant way for people around the world to connect. But for many, unplugging from this digital reality can be a challenge. South Washington County Schools, a suburban school district in Minnesota, is looking at how social media impacts mental health for students inside and outside of school through its podcast, Living Online. I'm your host, Kayla Pedersen. In this podcast, I'll use my experience as both district lead school counselor and a high school counselor to guide conversations with experts in their field. We'll talk about social media and its impacts on mental health, and how parents can support their child in navigating this landscape.
In today's episode, we'll talk about the realities of growing up with social media. I'm joined today by East Ridge High School student Brendan Featherstone.
Thanks for having me.
Park High School student Jack Nelson.
Happy to be here.
And Woodbury High School student Manashri Puttyeth.
Hi all.
These three students will share their experiences today, so thanks again for being here. As a senior here in District 833, let's talk about your typical high school day. How much time do you think you typically spend on social media?
So I think for me personally, I will typically spend around 15 to 30 minutes a day on social media. I'm a pretty busy person, so my time is pretty limited. I know that a lot of students our age generally don't like to watch the news and things like that, and you know, social media is a great way to kind of get the information that they're looking for, sports, entertainment, other things like that. But I do know on the weekends I'll generally spend a little bit more time, maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day on social media, kind of checking in with my friends and seeing what's going on. But definitely during the week it's a little bit more limited.
I spend a little bit more time on social media. I probably spend an hour and a half every day, more on the weekends because, as Brennan said, a lot of students don't like to get their information from news. So I get mine through social media because I feel that it is less biased. And so that's where I get most of my information from, and that contributes to a lot of the time I spend on social media. And I also use it for my homework. I'm in a lot of group chats, and we exchange information through our social media. So
I'm probably the same as Brennan, probably because I'm always busy with sports and just schoolwork. So I probably spend up to maybe 15 to 30 minutes also on weekdays, but then on weekends I'm probably on my phone all day long on social media. And yeah, I don't really watch the news. None of my friends do. We just all go right to Twitter or Snapchat, and it's all right there for us.
I was going to ask is there certain social media that you do spend more time on? I mean, you mentioned Snapchat and Twitter. I'm just curious in today's reality what the main ones would be.
I would say Instagram is the most time-consuming for me. I'm not on Twitter or Facebook. I mean, no one's on Facebook, sorry. But I'm not on Twitter, so or Visco or things like that. So that's definitely where I spend most of my time.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram most, and then I also use WhatsApp, which is more popular if you have family overseas, so I do a lot of my keeping in touch with family through that, and I don't use Snapchat, but I also am big on Twitter because that's where I get a lot of my political information from.
Probably is, for me, is Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram, main ones everyone uses.
Thanks for sharing. I think it's interesting how it's evolved over the last years where, you know, Facebook's old now and now it's going into other social media platforms. So when you think about social media, what do you like most about social media?
I like that I never feel alone. And some people say that social media makes them feel more alone, but I've never felt closer to other people because you find things that you would never think that anybody else has in common. You find those people on social media, whether it be people you see in real life or people you meet online.
I like how I can just get my news right away, like on Twitter or Instagram. Immediately pops up like breaking news about some sport or something. It's just kind of nice. It comes immediately. You don't have to watch the news or something.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with both of them. It's pretty easy to stay connected with people, and it's really easy to share information. Kind of like they were saying, you know, you can kind of make those group chats with people, and kind of like, you know, exchange information that way, and it's just so much easier to talk to your friends and things like that. I know on the soccer team, we had a big Snapchat group chat, and that was a great way for us to send, like, information, send pictures to one another, any information. So I think that's, like, a huge benefit of social media, especially because kids our age aren't going to be on, like, email and things like that. You know, they're not really, like, going to check that. So that's a really great way to stay in touch with your friends.
I think the connecting piece is big in those group messages is what I'm hearing. And a lot of, you know, staying connected. And like you, I think, Manashri made a great point too, is you're connecting with people who, you know, you never even know they had those interests before. And so it's really easy to connect with people now.
And yeah. It's not only just people that you normally talk with. I also use social media to keep people updated, like my Instagram posts on what's going on in my life. Even if I haven't talked to you in 2 years, you still follow me and I can keep you updated. And I think that that's really unique.
No, it's awesome. Building off that, I mean, like for example, my older brother was studying abroad a few years ago, and it's really cool. Like that's a great way to see those pictures of all him and his friends while they're abroad. I actually guest played with a Brazilian team for soccer when I was younger. So all of us kind of still follow each other on Instagram. And so it's really cool to kind of like still see what they're up to, kind of like, I don't know, get a taste of another part of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's another benefit for sure.
I would have to agree. That's a big benefit. It's, you know, our world is big, but yet it's smaller, you know, like right now because of how easily connected we can be with one another. So when we think about how social media impacts your life, how do you feel about social media just impacting your life in general?
I think it's only impacted my life for the better. There will always be negatives, but the positives outweigh those. As I said before, you feel so connected. You feel the camaraderie of being with other people in different causes that I'm involved in. And it has helped me through so many difficult times, knowing that you're not alone going through things. And I think it's only impacted my life for the better.
I feel like it's just an easier way to help connect with people. And it's just nice kind of having it and just going out there. And all of a sudden you post something and you can just see how many people, you know, are there always to help you. It's kind of nice.
I agree with both those points. I also think there's some downsides. Like when people are posting all these things, you kind of feel like you're being left out sometimes, or like, man, like their life seems so great. But I think people always need to remember, like, people are going to be putting like the highlights of their life out there on social media. So there's a lot of different things you need to like remember. And I think if you know, you have that really strong support system, family and friends, you don't need a lot. You just need the ones that really matter. You know, that's going to give you kind of like the confidence to know that your life is like, your life is super great too, and you got all the things that you need to be happy as well.
Yeah, that's definitely something I struggled with, and I've gotten past it now, but it definitely took some work, because as a woman of color, I scroll through Instagram and in advertisements, in other people's posts. It's hard because you constantly see one race being highlighted and being put on a pedestal, and going through that when I'm in my developing stages, you tend to idolize that and look for that in your life, and when it's not there, it's disappointing. But you learn to grow through that, and it's only made me stronger.
So I think like kind of like agreeing with you there, I think people just really need to like get that sense of like reassurance and like just kind of learn how to understand how to like respond to social media. You know, it can be dangerous if like they didn't go through that development that you went through. It can be pretty dangerous, I think. Mm-hmm. I think most people, whatever it is for them, they need to kind of understand like how to work through those issues of feeling like less than or other things like that. You need to find that self-worth somewhere.
I think that's, you know, an important factor, as you talked about, you know, growing up, right? I think a lot of, you know, students, elementary, middle school age, you're trying to figure out who you are and what you're all about and your interests. And I think that's where, you know, educating a little bit more on that social media and really reflecting, you know, on who you are. And I think seeing other role models, you know, you can blaze the trail for other women of color as well, to be out there.
Mm-hmm. I think social media helps kind of with kind of figuring out where you belong and what you want to be when you're older, kind of thing, and just showing who you are.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about how it's impacting our life, we heard a little bit of positive, and then we heard a little bit of negative there too. So when we talk specifically about mental health, you know, what are your thoughts on how it impacts your mental health, and or maybe in what ways?
I think that it is very easy to look at social media and villainize it and say that this is making you feel alone. This is making you feel like you have to compete for a spot in somebody else's eyes. But I went through that, and as I said, I've grown through it. But when I was in that stage, it was tough because you feel like you're putting your best parts out on social media, but then what nobody sees is the nights that you cry yourself to sleep because you are going through something with friends, or you are upset because you got a bad grade on something. We don't share that. And so when we do highlight the best parts of our lives, it creates a facade. And all of us know that that facade is up with other people, but we don't address that all of us are going through tough things.
I feel like it's kind of like, building off that, it's kind of like this like unspoken thing. Like everyone knows that everyone's putting the best parts of their life out there. And I think if people get too focused on, oh, I need to compete with them, or I need to put the best thing about me out there, they're going to kind of like, people are kind of sort of forgetting about, you know, the behind the scenes things and taking care of those issues first. I think social media has a lot of great aspects to it. I just don't see any mental health benefits behind it, at least, you know, not yet. I just think, it's just kind of making people put more attention on those, you know, false or those fake, but those kind of like images that are just like, oh, my life's so great and things like that. You know, you don't want to put too much emphasis on those things. And I think if people are spending so much time focusing on that, they're going to spend less time figuring out issues that are very important to their mental health and well-being.
I think that there used to be a lot of toxicity around social media, but now we're getting to a point where we realize that other people are going through things, and people aren't afraid to say, well, my therapist told me on Twitter. That's like trending always. My therapist told me this. My therapist told me that. My doctor told me this. My parents and I had a fight about this, because we're okay with sharing that. And so it is getting better. And I know I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram that talk about mental health. And there are a lot of resources. I know if you are scrolling through Instagram, you can get ads that say, if you're going through something and you need anybody to talk to, here's this website. You can get free counseling there. There are resources available. And I feel like if you're going through something and you feel like social media is contributing to this, there are also ways and outlets for you to get that help.
Yeah, agreeing with that, you know, there's a lot of ads out there are asking for, oh, if you need help, go to this website, call this number. It's just crazy how much impact there is on social media with helping others.
So it sounds like a lot of, you know, when you talk about mental health, I heard there's a lot of resources out there that can be found. You know, there's a lot of good connections that can be made for support as you're going through, you know, maybe some, you know, mental health or emotional, you know, spot in your life. And then I also heard, you know, it's that unspoken, can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's that unspoken where everybody kind of does put their best self out there, and people know that. And it's kind of that unspoken, but still, as you're growing up, might be helpful to remind some of the younger generations that this is, you're only seeing a glimpse of almost, I think you were trying to go up maybe like a false reality, Brennan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of building on Munrashi's point, she was sort of saying how people are starting to like share those things online about like, oh, like my therapist said this, things like that. I get where you're coming from with that point. Like people are kind of becoming more open online. I don't believe that social media is the place for comments like that to come out. I just think that that's something that's more like personal and it can be dealt with in your family. I just don't think the whole world needs to know, you know, those personal issues. And I think, you know, those can kind of be kept, you know, if like I'm going through something, it doesn't need to be about me. I feel like if I put something like that on social media, I'm making one of my personal issues, you know, about everyone else, and they should like give me attention and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need attention from 100 people. You need attention from the people who love you and care about you, like your family. So I get where you're coming from with that point. I guess I just sort of have a different viewpoint on that. But I do think you brought up a really great point about the resources that are available online, and I think those are great. I think they should take advantage of those. I just don't think social media is the right outlet to kind of put those feelings out there.
I think that's where, you know, we're obviously, you know, we're all different people, right? And some people might help them, you know, feel better, and some people, you know, on the flip side, it wouldn't, you know. So it kind of really reflecting on how everybody navigates a situation differently. Some people put that out there and that, you know, like I said, that might help them, but so, others might feel, nope, I'm not going there. I'm going to keep my, you know, issues and, you know, my problems to myself and maybe my close friends or family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to the point of keeping it within close circles, I want to clarify, like, a lot of people will post these to their Finstas or their private stories. So it's not, that's you wouldn't fair. Post it to your 1,300 followers on Instagram. You would post it to your 30 followers on your private story, or maybe 100 if it's less severe to your Finsta. It's not sharing it with like your elementary school friends that you don't keep in contact with anymore. But there is still a lot of sharing within the close circles. And I think that that's only brought at least me and my friends closer when discussing, when we're going through tough things, to know that there's other people that you can lean on. It's nice. So
yeah. I think it's a one thing, you know, that I've never thought about before was, you know, sharing it to just those close circles of friends.
No, that's a really good point. I'm glad the conversation kind of took us there, so that's really nice. I think that's definitely something you could do on like private stories, things like that.
Like other people who post it kind of like to their main account, like on Snapchat stories, like everyone, or like on Instagram or Twitter. I feel like it's a way for them to try and grab attention from everyone. And it's just kind of like, it gets kind of old, because it's like, you don't need to do it every week or whatever they do. Like saying, oh, how sad they are. It's like, yeah, we feel bad, but it's just like, you don't need to tell everyone in the world. You can just tell a few people and they can be there for you.
Because like in that sense, it's kind of like you're calling out for help, but like you're still making everything about you.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, we don't need a culture that's growing up thinking, oh, it's about me. And obviously people need to give that person attention. It just, you know, you can't ask for the whole world to give you that attention, right?
You just need, like, your names.
It's like a certain amount of people.
So one thing I do, it's kind of a little bit weird, but one thing I do is on my Finsta, if I'm ever feeling down or upset about something, I'll post something that says, can you please say something nice about me, or can you give me words of encouragement? And my I have a very private Finsta, but it has 30 followers on it, and almost every single one will say something. And it just makes you feel so good, because those are the people you're closest to. And so when they can say good things like that, it makes you feel good. You don't have to shout it out and scream on the rooftop to your thousands of followers, but when you're talking to those close people, it's really nice to feel loved, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing. So now, just to clarify, because I know there'll be some listeners that are like, what is a Finsta? Oh, can you explain what that is? Because honestly, I'm not even sure what it is. So,
I mean, a Finsta is like a, it's kind of like a funny, they call it funny Instagram page. It's like where you kind of post some goofy things or some meaningful things, but it's only to a few people. You don't allow the world to follow you.
So my regular Instagram account is public, and so anybody can see it if they choose to, but my Finsta is obviously private, and I really don't let a lot of people follow it, because sometimes you post things that people will expose you for, or you post it where you don't feel comfortable posting it somewhere else, but yeah, it's just mainly just close people who want to know those details about your life. So
that's helpful. Thank you. So do you think that most students have like both accounts?
For sure.
In your,
I actually don't, but I follow like my friends have them. So it's common.
Okay.
Yeah. It is common.
Okay. I learn something new every day.
Common in high school. Yeah.
Sure. So thank you. Thanks for clarifying on that. So as we think about, we've had a lot of great discussion here about social media. As far as looking at your relationships and how it's impacted relationships, I know we've touched on this a little bit, but just when we think specifically how it's impacted your relationships and maybe what ways, would you like to share your experience with that?
It's, social media has definitely brought a bunch of me and my buddies closer. Like, me and my buddies just have a group chat of just us, like 10 or 12, and we hang out every weekend, all text in the group chat. You know, we send memes and crap to each other. It's just a nice little, it just brings us a lot closer, I feel like. If we didn't have it, we would not be close at all, I feel like.
No, I agree with Jack. I have a group chat, too, with my buddies, and we do the exact same thing. It's fun. I think it definitely brings people closer together. like, obviously, like, you don't want to abuse it and tear people down, but if you're using it the right ways, like, yeah, we'll send funny videos and things like that, and it's super easy, and it's super fun, so kind of builds, like, inside jokes with your friends, so.
Oh, yeah, and FaceTime, I don't know if we'd consider that as social media, but I probably spend way too much time on FaceTime. I'll just be doing my homework, and my friend will be doing her homework, and once in a while, we'll crack a joke, and we'll just have so many laughs. Like, I spend so many late nights just talking about my life with my friends, and I wouldn't have that if it weren't for FaceTime or my friend who has a Samsung Snapchat video.
So it's like when you're FaceTiming doing homework, it's like you're have a homework buddy and you're doing homework, yeah. You know, but yet you're not
really together.
Physically, like, right,
yeah.
There.
It's,
yeah,
nice. It's
but
really nice.
You have that resource and that support. Moving on, some of the impacts of social media. Do you ever really worry about, like, the impacts of social media?
I'll be honest, I do sometimes with that whole mental health, like, missing out, FOMO or whatever. I worry about that. And I think, you know, some kids, if they don't have that strong, like, familial, like, system put in place, kind of, like, you know, make sure that they, like, know that they're, like, valued and their life matters and everything. I get worried, kind of knowing, like, how to respond to social media, things that are going on. I definitely think that, like, if you have that in place and you know your worth and all of those things, I think social media is definitely a great tool.
Mm-hmm. Like, when I see my buddies, you know, post all over that they're doing this fun thing, like going to the Corys this summer. You know, I missed out on that because I had baseball and I was kind of jealous. I was like, man, I really missed out on that. You know, it's kind of upsetting. But after all, you know, it's like, it's life. You know, they're just posting their highlights. They're just having a good time, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'll see them after.
I think my biggest worry about my social media is my digital footprint, because the things you post are said to last forever. And some things I've posted, I haven't been proud of. And so I hear stories about how these two boys were kicked out of Harvard because of a racist tweet that they had posted years ago. And obviously I haven't done anything like that, but I've posted things that maybe shouldn't have been said, and I wonder if a college or a future employer will see those things, will that be used against me? That's a serious question that I feel like all of us, because we've grown up with social media, will that come out later? Say we have a student who runs for president in 20 years, what's going to come out about them? You know, you have to really consider that.
I think that's a really great, great point.
Ask, I guess I would say, like, to, you know, kind of make kids act. You got to be an adult when you're on social media at a very young age. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I got Instagram in like fifth grade. So I was like 12.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, and you know, to your point, like, you got to be mature starting at a very young age. And so that is a concern. Like, you definitely need to give people a chance. Like, you need to, like, let people change. You know, you can't have just predetermined, oh, he'll always be like that. You gotta let people change and become a new person and, like, change and, I guess, learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, like, that a lot has been happening this year in, like, the NFL with everyone tweeting out, oh yeah, this player's the worst person on the team, and next thing you know, they lose and that guy's off the team immediately. It's just crazy how social media affects the lifestyle of some people and ruins their career, possibly.
Mm-hmm. There are very, very real repercussions of posting things, and I feel like we were never prepared, or we were never taught that, because, like Brennan said, we started social media when we started middle school or ended elementary school. Well, how were teachers supposed to know to tell us that? I don't think anybody could have predicted how volatile social media would become, and so we weren't prepared for that, and I'm sure all of us have made mistakes because of it, and I don't want to be held accountable for something that I was never taught not to do by anybody, because my parents couldn't teach me that. Teachers couldn't teach me that. Who was supposed to tell me that?
Mm-hmm. So I think moving forward, just kind of going off that same concept here and that same train of thought, you know, as what could we do, you know, to help prepare, you know, younger generations, help, you know, younger students realize that. Do you have any suggestions?
I think media literacy is a big thing if we're talking about politics, because we're not taught that, and it's really important, because a lot of us, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of us get our information about politics and the news from social media. So learning how to discern between something that's fact and something that's not. But also, the way that we are taught to go about social media is so antiquated. It should be more conversation-based. It should be more like this, because then I don't feel like I'm being shamed if I've ever done something in the past. And so that just makes me want to not listen even more. So I feel like the conversation surrounding social media needs to be less preaching and more trying to understand where kids are coming from and educating them to try to help avoid doing things without shaming them, because that's the system that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that conversation piece is big. In a lot of classrooms, it would be a lot more beneficial to have that conversation with students. And I feel like social media has changed even since last year, so every year is changing. And so having those real life conversations and really hearing the student perspective, even this podcast right here has been helpful for me to hear what our students are going through on a daily basis. So, yeah. So having those conversations surrounding that, starting that at a young age about, when you think of families, did families ever have that conversation with you about social media at all?
Being cautious on what you post and being smart on social media.
Yeah. Like the classic, like, don't send it if, like, you wouldn't want your grandma to see it.
Yeah.
Like, just cliche. Yeah.
But I think that's, that's a good conversation that they do bring up. But I think it's also one of those things where, they don't even know all that's out there. I work in a school system and I don't even know all that's out there. So yeah.
I also think you have to learn as you go, because you have to grow through what you go through, and it's a cliche phrase, but it's true. I have become so much stronger and more resilient because I've been knocked down many times. And so I honestly don't regret posting a lot of things because I've learned so much through it. But at the same time, it wouldn't have hurt to maybe be told or maybe have a different perspective on why not to post it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I was yelled at by my parents after certain things have happened, and that wasn't really productive. So
to live and learn, right?
I know for parents, actually, like, my parents are on social media, and a lot of, like, some parents are like, my dad and my mom both have Snapchat, and so, like, they kind of see what I'm up to as well, and they both have Instagram. So I think parents can definitely, like, get involved in, I mean, parents can enjoy it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they can live and learn with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can help them out with it sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that's a good strategy too. So you can, parents there, for those that are listening, can ask your child about it and learn with them, and they can teach you about it. Mm-hmm. So as far as just what works for you in terms of social media, you all mentioned that, you're on it, daily, and how do you balance, what works for you, I guess, when you just think about having that balance between social media, reality, things that you have going on?
This is my personal opinion. Obviously, people are going to be different. For me, social media comes last, I care about people in my life that are closest to me. I don't need the whole world to hear about what I'm up to. And homework, church, other activities, friends, family, I want those things to always come first. And so, social media will be the last thing I do each night. I mean, the only time I look at social media it's pretty much right after school or right before I go to bed. I try to limit it, I guess. And I just have other things going on that I believe are more important. That's just my personal opinion. I know other people tend to be on it and like to be on it a little bit more, but
I'm the same as Brennan pretty much. I focus more on my family and my closer friends, and then homework and just school and sports are just main focus. And if I can get on social media, then, I'll go on it for half hour or so, and then I'll just be like, I'm just gonna head to bed or something, just kind of be done with it for the night.
Can I ask a quick follow-up question to both of those perspectives? Are you doing, like, the group chats or the conversations kind of throughout the day then, or are you waiting to do those until...
Those will be throughout the day.
Yeah, throughout the day.
Because I was a captain of the soccer team this past year, so, if they need something from me, I'll be on there kind of reaching out.
Okay.
Nobody, I mean, as far as, like, scrolling through Instagram, I'll wait for that.
Nobody wants to wake up to
100
mess.
100 Snapchats.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that both of you said that you use Instagram less. And I wonder if it has to do with the fact that you are both boys. Do you think, now this is me asking.
Wait, use it less than you use it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, for example, use Snapchat the most. I'd probably go Snapchat and Twitter right about there.
Do you think that you have to answer to societal norms in regards to social media? Like, do you feel the need to post less and to have a picture perfect life less?
I don't really.
I guess you have nothing to compare it to because you don't.
I feel like guys in general just aren't as into it. Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel personally. I've never really felt the need to, like, man, I really want to post that, but I'm just not going to. Yeah. I've never felt that.
I never felt like, oh, I want to post a selfie, you know, I look good in this little cornfield. So, like, I don't feel that. I just, like, post kind of, like, my highlights, like, football or
most
hockey and baseball.
Sports family. Yeah.
Or somewhere I go. Yeah. Just want to post something cool about it.
Yeah.
I think, for me, it's different because I feel that I'm scrutinized at every single angle. Like, oh, I have a pimple in this picture. I'm not going to post it. Well, so does everybody else, but I still don't want to post it because we're posting the best versions of ourselves. And I think that when people are looking at my Instagram, I think that they see the worst because sometimes I tend to see the worst in other people's posts. And that kind of contributes to the toxicity surrounding Instagram. But I feel like I'm on it more and I have to post more because I have to prove that I'm living that life, at least on my main Instagram. So, but I think it's interesting because I feel like more girls are on social media more and have to answer to the norms more. Like, I don't post a lot, but I will be scrolling through other people's Instagram account, or I'll be on the Explore page because, you know, I like watching funny TikToks and finding good memes deep into Instagram. Mm. You know, I don't know. I just feel like it may be the fact that I'm a girl has more to do with why I'm on.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I have a sister, so I mean, I would agree with that. Yeah. And I can understand. I see where it's
my sister posts all the time on Instagram. It's like, I mean, I get that she loves, you know, posting and like showing the world how great of a life she lives or whatever. It's like, you don't need to post all of it. You know, it's just kind of like, some of it's cool, yeah, but some of it's like, you don't need to post a selfie every week. Yeah. Like, everybody knows what you look like now.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, and kind of, like, building off Jack's point there, like, I know, like, for my sister, like, I know, like, sometimes she'll be, like, wondering, like, oh my gosh, like, what should my comment be and things like that. Mm-hmm. I personally, I don't like to overthink it. I'll just go with, like, kind of what's on my mind. I don't know. I know that, I think she, like, I love my sister, and I just want her to know that, like, that's what matters, you know? She doesn't need to overthink any of those things, and she's not, like, bad about it at all, and she's, I don't want to be mad at me if she listens to this podcast. But no, like, I'm just speaking, I guess, kind of, like, my experience with girls in general on social media, and, you know, guys are guys. Like, they don't really notice a lot of things. Like,
they don't think.
Girls will go really get their eyebrows down, and I'll be like, nice, like, I wouldn't have noticed, like, you don't need to overthink it. Like, you know, you're you. So.
I also think that girls post less for guys. Girls post more for girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's not about trying to prove that you look like something to a boy. It's more about I need the validation from other girls because I know that guys don't. If we're generalizing, I get that guys don't really pay attention to those things. Yeah. So I'm posting it more for other people, like a girl's validation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find myself doing.
Just trying to fit in is kind of how it is.
Yeah.
I think that validation, you know, as you're trying to figure things out. And, you know, as a female, I see that a lot in school counseling too. You know, the girls in high school, there's a lot of insecurities and they're working through a lot of those insecurities. And it's helpful to have that friend circle for that validation piece of it. Yeah. So as far as... Manasha, did you kind of talk about, do you want to expand any more about how you balance that social media too?
I wouldn't say that I'm particularly good at it. I spend for sure too much time on it. If I don't feel like doing my homework, that's what I'll do instead. When there are other more productive outlets for me. But at the same time, I still get all my work done. I may lose an hour or two of sleep to catch up on my homework, but... Yeah, I can't really speak to the balance because I don't have it, so.
I appreciate the honesty. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. And that's, I think, there's many high schoolers that are in the same situation that you are, where you know, they don't have that balance yet. Not even high schoolers, I think, just, you know, students in general. They're working on figuring out what works for them, what doesn't work for them. You know, they're trying to figure out that balance. So, yeah, I appreciate the honesty on that one. But any closing thoughts?
I mean, you just got to be kind of like smarter what you say and kind of what you post and just be more cautious, you know, just kind of think of what other people think. You know, if I say, oh yeah, Brennan's sweatshirt, you know, it kind of looks weird in that, you know, I'd be kind of rude. And, you know, I don't want everybody coming at me saying, oh, you're a mean person. You know, it's just like, well, I just didn't like that sweatshirt. I shouldn't have posted that. You know, you should kind of keep things to yourself and just post the nice and positive things about people. Mm-hmm. By the way, Brennan, I do like your sweatshirt. It's a nice
thing. Yeah, I like yours too.
I think for myself, I've kind of come to a point in my life where I'm like, I need to stop proving to other people mm-hmm. that I'm here and I'm worth looking at. So I used to edit my pictures and now I don't anymore. I stopped doing that because that's, again, just pushing forward the facade that you have to look a certain way to get a like, you know? I think that that's really important is to, if you want to edit your pictures, do it. But it's nice to also take a step back and be like, this is what I look like. And I don't want to edit it. I don't need to look a certain way to please somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I think for parents, I think it's important for parents to be involved, but also overreaching is a huge issue and it can cause kids to want to be even more private. So if you try to follow your kid's Finsta account, for example, absolutely not. If I let you follow it, then I'm creating another Finsta that you don't follow. Like, I don't think that parents should necessarily get involved. Just make sure that you're there to talk about it. Ask open-ended questions that gives your kid a chance to explain their life that they're living on social media. And as for teachers and schools, I think it's important for schools, as I said before, to not shame students, not to villainize social media, but rather help us go through it just being better citizens on the internet as we would expect it to be in person.
And including that conversation piece for schools yes. that you'd mentioned earlier.
I think if I was to respond to that question, I think I would just say, like, for students, before you post something, just ask yourself a few questions, like, why are you posting it? And, you know, what image are you trying to get across to the world? Who do you want the world to think you are? Because a lot of people are going to see whatever you post. Whether it's in your comments or, just the picture in general. I know for me personally, like, I'm a bit of an old soul and I'm not like super like used to like slang and like pop culture references, things like that. And so, you know, I'm not going to be the one to like work and try to like get up to date with those things. I personally just, I'm not that invested in trying to fit in like that. You know, the image I want to put out there to the world is like, hey, this is me and I'm proud of who I am, you know? I think that's what people need to remember. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll just kind of put, like, a basic comment out there, like, just kind of like a 40 or 50-year-old man might write, you know? And I really don't care, you know? You know, that's just who I want the world to see me as, just like a regular guy, you know? I don't need to be over the top, anything like that. I'm just putting out, hey, this is me. I did this. You know, this is why it matters to me. Hope you guys enjoy this post. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing. And your point was really great. Like, you don't need to seek anyone else's validation. Put it out there and be proud of who you are. And, you know, if you were to flip the tables a little bit, like, when you see other people doing that too, like, be like, hey, awesome, that's really cool, good for you. You know, I'm not gonna make fun of someone because they're using pop culture references. It's just not what I do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's golden rule. It always comes back to it. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much to all three of you for being here today and sharing your thoughts and experiences and being so honest and open with us. It's really, really helpful insight to hear what it's like for students, you know, living in, you know, this day and age. So really great suggestions moving forwards for our listeners. So just wanted to thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our conversation today. You can learn more about our guests and find tips and resources about managing social media and mental health online at www.sowashco, spelled SOWASHCO.org/livingonline. This podcast was produced by South Washington County Schools thanks to funding from a grant provided by PrairieCare.